creation on Saturdays. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Bismillah, words that seekers of sanctuary repeatedly recite. Words that the very cautious in search of protection often repeat. I seek refuge with Allah, the Exalted above all, from the oppression of the unjust, from the deceitful malice the envious use to lay snares and traps, from the injustice and outrage of the tyrants, and I sing his praise. Do better and go beyond other praisers. O Allah, thou art one, has no partner, and is the Lord Master without being made. There is no discrepancy or nonsense in thy commands, nor there is lawlessness in thy kingdom. I beseech thee to send blessings on Muhammad, thy servant, thy messenger. To let me ask thee for enlightenment and inspiration, so as to be thankful for thy bounties, which alone get thy approval ultimately. To help me to obey thee and instinctively worship thee, and make me deserve thy rewards on account of thy very patronage. And have mercy on me, and prevent me from breaking in the bounds of thy prohibitions, as far as I am kept alive, and show the way unto that which is useful and advantageous till I go on survive. To let me take to heart the meanings of thy book, and by its reading, throw down the heavy burden of sins, and receive welfare and salvation as a gift. Let not my family and friends who love me leave me alone. Let thy favors reach me in abundance during the remainder of my life, exactly as they used to be made available for me in full in the days gone by. O the Most Merciful.
IRIB English Radio in the month of Muharram presents today's special. Every day for 15 minutes.
In the name of Allah, the Almighty. Dear brothers and sisters, salamu alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special and special day. Today is the martyrdom anniversary of the Shia's fourth Imam, Imam Sajjad, peace be upon him. So we express our condolences on this day.
حسان حسان باب المظلوم باب الأطفال.
Today Friday is the 25th of Muharram, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 12th of Shahrivar, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 3rd of September, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. On behalf of all crews on today's special, we offer our condolences on the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Sajjad, peace be upon him.
The
tragedy of Karbala left the Muslim community in a state of terror and shock. Nobody could have dreamt of such a level of brutality. In a poem attributed to Lady Zainab, she says to her brother, "O part of my heart, I did not imagine that even this could have been destined and written." Various ahadiths and the later imams tell us that the number of Shia during those days were very few. At the same time, corruption and sin in the Muslims have become prevalent. It is said that everyone from the poor slaves and commoners to the rich men used to take pleasure from inappropriate poetry and music. In this situation, a time that some scholars have termed the most difficult age of all the imams, the fourth imam saw that it was not wise to openly resist the tyrannical government. Open resistance would mean the Shia school would be wiped out forever. Instead, the imam engaged in activities intended to set the foundation that future imams could build upon to establish a just and righteous society. The success of the imam can be seen in how the numbers and organization of Shia grew considerably during his imamah, as it can also be seen in how later imams like Imam Sajjad were able to at times openly resist the caliph of their time. Please accept our condolences on the anniversary of Imam Sajjad's martyrdom.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma istaeen. In this episode, we are going to talk about the martyrdom of the fourth infallible Imam, Ali ibn al-Husayn Sajjad alayhi salam. Imam Sajjad alayhi salam offered many prayers, and these prayers are, thanks to God, available to us in the form of As-Sahifa al-Kamilah al-Sajjadiyya. We find that, if we approach As-Sahifa al-Sajjadiyya in another way, we find that, these prayers are indeed the kind of lifestyle elaborated on and explained by Imam Sajjad alayhi salam. Please note well that the prayers that Imam Sajjad alayhi salam offered to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would be restricted to only Muslim communities that are general in nature, such that not only Muslims but all mankind may receive light and may receive finest instructions and advice from them. Unfortunately, in the time of the Marwanid rulers who continued the sinister path of the Umayyad rulers, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam was poisoned and martyred. And we find that Imam Sajjad alayhi salam was an infallible imam who witnessed the events of Ashura. And we find that Imam Sajjad alayhi salam wasn't able to tell people of the afflictions inflicted on Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam on the day of Ashura. Rather, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam informed the people of the martyrdom fate of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam in another way. For example, whenever Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam noticed the butcher who wanted to sacrifice a sheep, Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam would go to the butcher and would remind him that his father, Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, was martyred together with his companions on the plain of Karbala thirsty. And we find that Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam used to shed tears in favor of his martyred father, Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, and his martyred companions throughout his life. And this constant shedding tears and weeping in favor of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam was a good and peaceful reminder of the tragic calamity and the tragic fate that was that were inflicted on Imam al-Husayn al-Islam by the Umayyad camp on the day of Ashura and Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. In this way, we find that Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam continued the path of his father, Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, in yet another peaceful way. Thank you.
We have a story here, traveling with those who did not know him. Imam Sajjad narrates, Ali ibn Hussein would not travel except with companions who didn't know him, and he would make a condition with them that serving the companions with regards to anything they needed during the trip would be his responsibility. Once he traveled with a group and someone recognized who he was, this man asked the other travelers, Do you know who this is? They said, No. He said, This is Ali ibn al-Hussein. They all rushed to Imam and began to respect him. They said, O son of the Messenger of Allah, you wanted to burn us with the fire of hell. If unknowingly we had done something or said something rude, would we not have been ruined forever? The blessed Imam replied, I once traveled with a group who knew me, so they treated me to, for the sake of the Messenger of Allah, that which I did not deserve. I feared that you would also treat me similarly, so I preferred to hide myself. Dear friend, accept our condolences on the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Sajjad, peace be upon him.
Standing here alone on a land so far from home, a place where angels cry, where little children die. Hussein has said goodbye, praying some of them survive the torture and the heat. They can't bear to watch him leave. They cry out, Hussein, ya Hussein.
Is it correct that Imam Sajjad can be known as Sikh Imam? Unfortunately, some people who are unaware of history view the fourth infallible as the Sikh Imam. They have a mental image of him as being physically pale and sickly, while psychologically they think of him as being depressed and forever gloomy. The reality is far from this, for the Imam, Imam Sajjad, was only ill for a short period of time during the tragedy of Karbala. He recovered quickly after Ashura, and for a period of 35 years, just like the rest of the Imams, he enjoyed full physical health and well-being. Without doubt, the illness which the Imam experienced was a form of divine favor. Through it, he became exempt from the duty of fighting, and therefore was protected from a certain death. Through this, the line of the Imams was allowed to continue. In this way, the line of the Imams would have ended and the light of guidance for the Muslim world would have been extinguished. The illness of the fourth Imam was clearly due to divine expediency. The illness itself does not entail psychological or spiritual weakness. During the time of the captivity, Imam was a beacon of hope and a source of strength. He also faced the enemy with bravery and courage, and his sermon in both Kufa and Syria are clear evidence of this reality.
Salawat upon Imam Ali ibn al-Hussein.
Allahumma salli ala Ali ibn al-Husayn. سيد العابدين الذي استخلصته لنفسه وجعلت منه أئمة الهدى الذين يهدون بالحق فبه يعدلون اخترته لنفسك وطهرته من الرجس واصطفيته وجعلته راضيا اللهم فصل عليه أفضل ما صليت على أحد من ذرية أنبيائه حتى تبلغ به ما تغفر به عينه في الدنيا والآخرة إنك عزيز حكيم.
O Allah, please send blessings upon Ali, the son of Al-Husayn, the chief of worshippers, whom you have purely dedicated to yourself, and have brought forth from him the leaders of true guidance, who guide to the truth and judge with it. You have chosen him for yourself, purified him against filth, selected him, and made him guide and well guided. O Allah, send blessings upon him with the most excellent blessings that you have ever sent upon any of your prophet's offspring, so that these blessings raise him in what delights his eye in this world and the hereafter. You are very almighty and wise.
Ya Aba al-Hassan, Ya Ali ibn al-Husayn, Ya Zayn al-Abidin, Ya Ibn Rasulullah.
Dear brothers and sisters, that was all for this episode of today's special. Thank you very much for joining us. Again, accept our condolences on the martyrdom anniversary of our fourth Imam, Imam Sajjad, peace be upon him. Till another episode of today's special, fi amanillah.
Food for thought.
Salam and condolences to you on the martyrdom anniversary of the survivor of the tragedy of Karbala, Imam Zainul Abidin, peace upon him. Let us ponder on a wise statement from him. One who is content with whatever God has destined for him is the most wealthy and needless person. Thank you.
Mindful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abi al-Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. First and foremost, we would like to send our condolences and our grievances to the Imam of the time, Imam al-Sahib al-Asri wa al-Zaman, and to all the mu'mineen and the believers and the Muslims on this being the reported demise, even though a weaker one, of Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam, the fourth holy Imam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to be of those who truly understand the role modelness of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, and of those who make use of that beautiful treasure that the Imam alayhi salam has left behind, that is the Sahifa al-Sajjadiyah, a book that will enable a person to soar towards the Most Beloved, a book that will enable a person to truly change his soul for the better. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the right of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam that the zuhur and the reappearance of our Imam alayhi salam is brought closer, and we are of those who are worthy of being within that particular era. Now, there's a beautiful tradition from the Imam alayhi salam in which he mentions three causes of man's salvation. And the Imam alayhi salam says that the first one is the protecting of one's tongue from people and from doing their backbite. That is not to backbite others. So protect your tongue from people is to don't speak bad about them. And also don't backbite them. That's the first thing. Simple. Why? Because if this is the case, you will always be looking around your shoulder. Did this person find out what I said about him? And so on and so forth. Not to mention that, you know, backbiting is one of the great sins as well. That is the first one. The second one is that occupy yourself. Right? So occupy yourself with work, with, you know, things that will be beneficial for you both in this world and in the hereafter. So basically, even if you go to work, you know, make the intention that you are going to work in order to provide for your family, not so that you can attain wealth and then live in this world better. No. If you want to do that, one particular act of work can also be a act of worship, depending on the intention that we have. The intention that we have is extremely important. That is the second one. And the third one, the Imam alayhi salam says, is very important for us in terms of our self-development, in terms of introspection, that always a person cries and wails and, you know, is in extreme grief over the sins and the mistakes that he has done. So even here the Imam says, you know, it does not have to be sins, but even mistakes, lapses that he has done, he is grieving about it. He's, if put in inverted commas, he's depressed about them. But it doesn't mean that, you know, he does not have hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again to make us of those who are able to visit the Imam alayhi salam in the cemetery of Baqi, inshallah, in the very near future. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
ودعوتك ربي بقرآن جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host Mahdi, and we are joined by Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam, brother Mahdi, and assalamu alaikum to the dear listeners of this program. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, brother. Well, dear audience, as you may know, this program, Let's Recite the Quran, consists of several Quranic parts. At first, we are going to talk about a famous reciter of the Holy Quran, and then we are going to listen to a recitation of that famous Qari. And then Brother Muhammad is going to analyze that recitation. Beside these segments, we are going to have some other Quranic parts which is going to be presented to you. So stay with us.
Inna
Well, today we are going to listen to a recitation by Sheikh Shahad Muhammad Anbar, who is a famous Egyptian qari who was born in 1950. You know, his father passed away when he was 3 years old, and he was adopted by his maternal uncle. And with the help of his uncle, he managed to memorize the Holy Quran at the age of 8. And when he was 10, he learned tajweed under the care of Sayyid Ahmad Farorehi. He was very talented and had a very powerful voice. In 1979, he entered Egyptian radio and he became internationally well-known. From 1985 to 1996, he traveled to many countries as a representative of the Ministry of Endowments of Egypt. He visited America, England, Spain, France, Brazil, and of course, Iran, where he has many followers. Dear audience, now it's time to listen to the recitation of Sheikh Shahad Muhammad Anbar, reciting Surah Ash-Shura, verses 10 to 12, preceded by its English translation. Let's enjoy it.
In the name of Allah, the absolutely merciful, the especially merciful, and in whatsoever you differ, the decision thereof is with Allah. Such is Allah, my Lord, in whom I put my trust, and to whom I turn in all of my affairs and in repentance, the creator of the heavens and the earth. He has made for you mates from yourselves, and for the cattle mates. By this means he creates you. There is nothing like unto him, and he is the all-hearer, the all-seer. To him belong the keys of the heavens and the earth. He enlarges provision for whom he wills and straightens it. He is the all-knower of everything.
إلى الله
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, you're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran from IRIB English Radio. What you just listened to was recitation of Surah Ash-Shura, verses 10 to 12, recited by Sheikh Shahat Muhammad Andar. And now, Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Sure. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. These were very beautiful verses of the Quran recited by Sheikh Shahat Muhammad Andar. He has a very beautiful voice, a pleasant and sweet voice, which will never be forgotten. And this recitation is in Maqam Sika, okay, and also another a subdivision of Sika, which is known as Huzam. Okay. Sheikh Shahat Anwar, he is so skillful in using Maqam Sika in his recitation, and it's a very technical use of Maqam Sika, because other reciters have also used Maqam Sika. But the way that Shahat uses Maqam Sika is complete. It's perfect. Mm-hmm. He uses all of the different degrees of Maqam Sika. Okay. So this entire recitation was in Maqam Sika. It's a good recitation if you want to learn Maqam Sika. We have the Qarar, Jawab, and Jawab al-Jawab of this Maqam,
which is the highest register of his voice.
Yes, and this is one of the strong points of Shahat Muhammad Anwar, and that is he has all three registers, the Qarar, the Jawab, and the Jawab al-Jawab, the low register, the middle register, and the high register. Okay, and now let's go over some of the rules of Tajweed. Of course, this is the riwayah of Warsh an Nafir, but most of the rules of Tajweed are the same. You know, it's not like there's a big difference between Warsh and Hafsan Asim. Okay. The first thing is Shay'un fa'hukmuhu. We have a Maddullin here. Because there is a Hamza after the Maddullin, Warsh an Nafi'a lengthens the Maddullin to six vowel counts. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then we have the Ikhfa of Nun Sakina. This was applied very well by Sheikh Shahat Anwar. He says, Min Shay'in fa hukmuhu. He didn't completely place the front teeth on the lower lip, the place of articulation of fa. What he did was that he made the upper front teeth very close to the lower lip without making it touch the lower lip. And at the same time, he applied Ghunna, the nasalization, for two vowel counts.
That is ikhfa.
Yes, that's right. And the word tawakkal, the first time he stopped on this word, the ta of of this word was heard clearly.
Yes.
Okay? Tawakkal. You have to hear the clicking sound of the ta.
Pronouncing it without qalqala is important.
And without qalqala. Tawakkal. If, you know, sometimes the microphone is not able to record the sound of the clicking sound. But this is a very high quality microphone.
Yes.
That Sheikh Shahat Anwar is reciting the Quran in front of this microphone, and it's we could hear all of the rules of Tajweed clearly.
And more important than the microphone, I think, is he himself that pronounced the talk correctly.
That's right. But sometimes if the microphone is weak, okay,
cannot
the gain is weak. Right? Sometimes even if the reciter applies this rule, the microphone is not able to, you know,
record
that sound or retrieve the sound.
Okay.
Okay, then let's go on to the next verse. فَاطِرُ السَّمَاوَاتِ. The ta was pronounced with the lowest level of
tafkhim.
فَاطِرُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. This is, again, the quality of Warsh an Nafi', where if there is a sakin letter followed by a hamza, hamzatul qat', you have to pronounce the hamzatul qat' quickly without
nabra. Glottal stop.
Yes. Walaw. Or we had another part of this verse, min anfusikum. Min anfusikum becomes min anfusikum. The reason I'm saying all of this is that I want to tell the audience that these are not mistakes,
mm-hmm.
okay, of the Quran. This is
the riwaya is different.
The riwaya is different, and I'm just mentioning the differences. Anfusikumu azwaj, and this is another aspect of Larsh where whenever there is a meme of jam'a, a plural meme, followed by a hamzatul qat'a, you have to lengthen the meme like a wawul med for six vowel counts.
Okay. Thank you, dear brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. That was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Until next program, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Goodbye.
Is back to reality.
Back to reality. Back to
it's the show where we discuss the most topical of topics, the most controversial of controversies, and the most important affairs of affairs.
Roundtable from Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, brothers and sisters. Thank you so very much for joining us on today's brand new episode of Back to Reality. Brought to you by Arab English Radio. In the studio with me, I have the honor of hosting Brother Sayyid Abdullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you so very much for joining us, Sayyid. Assalamu alaikum, bro.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for introducing me. Habib Zata,
yes,
at your service.
Today, since we're recording this during the month of Muharram, I want to ask you guys about ignorance. I think is one of the main streaks of every human being, right? And that happens to apply to almost every field of our lives, including in relation with Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. One of the most obvious and apparent dimensions in which we express our blatant ignorance toward Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam is how we mourn him. I'm not saying that our gatherings are ignorant. I'm saying we express a lot of ignorance in the method, in the manner of our mourning for Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam.
There's no doubt that when you look at people themselves, people are not equal. You have, you know, different levels of people. You have people are generally go to the majalis of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam out of the sheer love for Imam al-Hussein. Some of them, they go because they want to get something more,
okay.
Right? So they want, you know, they want some intellectual, for example, lecture or something
some
that, yeah. So some of them are in tuned to the majalis spiritually, some of them emotionally, some of them intellectually.
Mm-hmm.
But if we go to the majalis, for example, right? Mm-hmm. Chest beating for Imam Hussein alayhi salam. We all do it. You know, we feel sad and sorrow for the Imam, we beat our chest. Some of them, for example, they go extra mile.
Yeah,
it
they
becomes,
strip down.
I was watching a clip today. They were doing a dance, a literal dance.
Yes.
It's not even latum anymore.
Let's assume that we've come to this consensus that there is a fine line in how we're supposed to mourn for Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, and that the Ahlul Bayt set criteria for us. And whatever does not fit that criteria is considered as ignorant, right? Now, I want to bring the focus back to the ignorance and ask why. Why do it in an ignorant way?
There are two kinds of ignorance. First one is that you know that you're ignorant and you do it,
mm-hmm.
right? And we have special words for that.
Compound.
Yes, compound.
No, no, that's compound
simple,
ignorance.
Simple,
that's simple ignorance.
Simple and compound.
Yeah.
Compound ignorance is when you don't know that you're ignorant.
Yeah, and so you...
you're ignorant toward your ignorance.
Yeah, so they have this pure intention, but they don't know that they're doing something wrong. These kinds of people need guidance.
Can they be guided?
Yes, because their intentions are pure.
Brother Habib, the Islamic nation has been mourning the grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for over 1,300 years. And still, the ulama and the scholars and the maraja cannot get it through some of their skulls not to proceed with certain ignorant rituals.
Okay,
because they
I
don't see it. That's going
yeah.
to examples. That's going to examples, and that's something that I did wrong with Sayyid Abdullah. So, don't go into examples with us, please, because when you go into the examples, we'll go into a huge debate.
Now,
yes,
so the thing is, you got to keep in mind as well, sister, is that the fact that the aza of Abu Abdullah alayhi salam, it's for generations, it's been under attack, right? And there are people who deliberately have brought in things to the madhab, to the aza of Abu Abdullah, under that banner of Aza.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
And people swallowed it, right?
That's
and,
why
and
we have to
when
be
became,
extra careful.
So yeah, so when it became a habit, people hard to give up. And most of the people, actually, we have many cases where a lot of these things been done by people who are not even Shia to begin with, right? So it's just for the media, for the camera to capture and say, okay, here's a Shia for you. Here's how dumb
the distortion of the image of Imam Hussein.
Yeah, so you got to keep that in mind. And a lot of people, because of their love for Imam Hussein alayhi salam, that... like Brother Habib said, they had that pure intention. They think that, okay, you know what? That's Azat, let me do it. Now, that's what we call ignorance. So, the Maraj and all the speakers and all the khutaba, all the lecturers, they always talk. But some people just are, like I said, just never go through these calls.
Because
so
they're biased.
Not that they're biased. It's just that, you know, I think the emotional outrage they have for Imam Hussein overcomes these kind of things, you know, this ignorance that they have. Oh, they say, you know what, let me re-question. And sometimes, like I said, it becomes a habit. It becomes like a fashion thing. For example, like I mentioned before.
Tradition, something that's the
yeah,
trend.
Yeah, like I mentioned before, like in Iraq, for example, they do lakmiyat, that if you look at it, it's just incredibly insane. And it became like a fashion now. Like, you know, they put music to it now. They put, like, that sound effects. The guys who do the clips, they do shocking things. And they think it's cool. I mean, it's not right. This is what we call ignorant. But a lot of these things came from...
pure intention.
And no. Like, they came from enemies of the Aza. They're trying to bring Aza in any way they can.
So you're saying
so
that the mourning system for Imam al-Hussein was infiltrated...
It was, no doubt about that.
By evil forces.
No doubt about that.
And it has deviated from the path which it was meant to be on. What is that path? What is the point of mourning for Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam? And what sort of deviation would we consider as ignorance?
Well, that's what I'm saying to you. Any action that is taken out of context, for example, laqma itself, beating your chest, if you do it in a way that it's not what was meant to be, then that's deviation. If you, for example, set mawakib and set things and they take different forms,
let's say
that's
that you're
deviation.
Saying taken out of context. Taken out of context means that they do laqam, they do the beating of the chest on a random Friday morning before they go to work because they drop their pancake. That would be taken out of context.
Mm-hmm.
But what I am perceiving as an ignorance act is that they are bringing something, supposedly beating themselves, walking on fire, walking on glass shards and things like that, right? Into the context of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam.
Okay.
Right? That's what's ignorant about it.
That's
this is
I
not helping
you
become a better
I'm
person. This is not helping you getting
I'm
closer to the essence,
you.
The message, the spirit, the core.
100% agree with you. That's like exactly the point I was trying to make.
Uh-huh.
But I'm trying to say at the same time, we can't neglect the fact that most of these things... not the Shia themselves, because Brother Habib brought the concept that it's been done for generations. It's not that they are, you know, making it. Sometimes it's been influenced by an external factors.
And I don't even
for example,
agree.
Walking on fire, walking on glass, it's something that the, I don't know, the Buddhists or
Hindus
Hindus do. and it came to us.
You're listening to Back to Reality. We're going to be back after a short break, so don't go anywhere. Thank you so very much for being with us on Back to Reality. In the studio with me, I have two very special guests, Brother Habib and Brother Abdullah. We're talking about ignorance in mourning Abu Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salam. Now, that does not mean that mourning Abu Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salam is an act of ignorance. Rather, ignorant people who attend the majalis and the ignorant expressions of sorrow for Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Here's the thing about ignorance, like all other things, it's got levels.
If you see someone else with a different kind of culture that you might kind of see as whack, right? In these days, especially nowadays, if you make fun of them, you're going to become a racist person.
True.
Yeah. Now, let me tell you something. If there is this specific way, for example, in India, or let's say in some African nation, they had a specific way of mourning. This is their way of mourning. This is their way of showing sadness. If we come and they come and use this method that they are used to, it's their culture, and bring it and use it in the aza of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, then what's wrong with it? If it does not contradict with the principles that we stated, which is Muharramat.
All right, so walking on glass and walking on fire, is that something that we should bring?
I'm asking questions.
The Christians,
is it a way of mourning?
To them, it's a way of mourning. It doesn't mean we adopt everything. So what separates Islam from other nations?
Exactly what I wanted to say, too. Islam
is... It's a method of... Islam is meant to unify them.
The best of nation that was brought to people, meaning what? Meaning other nations, other tribes, they were doing things that Islam rejected. When Islam came to ignorance, jahiliyyah, they used to do circulation around the Kaaba naked while whistling and clapping. That was their way of tawaf.
Yeah.
Islam came, eliminated that. So Islam came to rectify. So because I see other people are doing it, that's a nice way of form of azah. Let me bring it to Imam Hussein. How
no,
does that
work? Doesn't work. It's meant to be the other way around.
Yeah.
This is how Imam Hussein wants us to do it.
We have to show them how to do azah the right way. Now, I don't want to make fun of them. Whatever they do, by all means, they can knock themselves up. If they, like, with the Christianity and their parades, they bring people and they literally crucify them and they stick nails to their hands. And these people are happy to do it in Mexico and in Spain. They like the guy who's getting crucified. He's happy having nails go through his hand and being crucified.
It's a blessing for him.
It's a blessing. Should I bring that to Muharram as well? But I'm not going to bring it
Don't
to Muharram.
Don't drag it into my religion.
So,
there Islam
are ways of mourning. Now, if it is within the Islamic limitation, something that we can do, sure, why not?
Again, going back to the Islamic limitation.
But most of the things that are coming to... Look, our azah is very simple and clear. Latum and cry for the Ahl Bayt. Have you seen that knocking your head against the wall? They run and they hit the wall. That's just insanity.
I want to ask
you people,
a question.
Or people, they make pools of mud and they go inside the mud. What are you trying to do? What message are you trying to bring forward to the world?
Definitely.
Especially, mind you, I swear to God, you can do any form of azah to Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, and you can cut your head off, and I wouldn't mind if it was done 30 years ago when there's no media. Now the cameras focused on us 24 hours, but we've been attacked by the Muslims themselves. I don't want to give a green card to someone from a different faith or from a different school of thought to go to his followers, look, these are the people that you should not follow. And believe me, when they see what we do, they will not follow. Sometimes, as a Shia, I see things that have been done under the name of Imam Hussein. I myself hate myself.
What was the question you wanted to ask, Brother Habib?
I wanted to ask that chest beating thing that you accept right now, right? In its method right now that is known.
No.
Are organized.
No one said we accept it in the method that it is right now.
You went into examples. I'm going to have to go into examples. I want to ask you a question. Do you know who was the first person to make this kind of order? The son of Sheikh Asadullah. who passed away in the 13th century of the Islamic Hijri calendar.
Mm-hmm.
He was one of the first person to do it in Haram Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Sheikh Abbas al-Qumi stated. So my question is, was this kind of chest beating, the way that we do it nowadays, was it available at the times of the Imam alayhi salam?
Beating
your chest, of course, was
specific.
The one that we're talking about today, the one that we see Mullah Basim when he goes up and people underneath him.
So Brother Habib, like the sister said, because when you say Latum, because there are different versions of Latum.
Exactly.
Each nation, I mean, even in one country, you have every city, they do their own style of Latum.
Exactly.
Okay, I'm just going to say this between brackets. I don't even approve of that kind of latam.
That's your problem.
Moving forward, what were you saying, Sayyid?
Yeah, so we're saying sometimes like the normal chest beating, it's a natural human thing that we do, like when we go
when you're
sad,
in pain, when
you drop,
when you're,
we do your pancake, like you said, you hit your chest, right? I'm sure that Ahlul Bayt Allah alayhim, they hit their chest, they hit their head.
There are sayings about hitting their head, they're hitting, but
so
in the manner that they're doing it.
Even the man that we're doing, if we gather, we do latam, that's all good and well. But for example, when a bunch of men, or the whole entire lecture room, or the masjid, or the Husayniyah, everyone takes their clothes off.
That's gross.
Now, okay, seriously, I mean, it. You know, you
like if
a
third person
and then I've seen
looks
people
at
like when
it.
They do them, like they literally jump up and down and they hit themselves. It becomes more like of a trying to do a bit of show rather than to actually mourn, because when you beat your chest, you're trying to mourn. You're not trying to show. Or like recently in this Muharram, I've attended some Husayniyah. 15-20 minutes just drums inside a masjid. And for what? What are you trying to drum about? You know? So I'm saying for the love of God, I came here to mourn. You're giving me drums for 15 minutes.
Exactly. At the end of the day, the Quran itself says that the Muslim nation is special because it's the middle nation, right?
Which means intellectual nation.
Any type of extremes, okay? And if we set the middle, that middle ground, that moderate ground, as what the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam practice in their lives, any sort of extremes on any
side of the spectrum
is unnecessary and ignorant. That's all the time we have for today's show. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Back to Reality. Until another episode, I leave you in the care and protection of the Almighty. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
شهیدان تو یا حسین آه ارسر خان تو یا حسین آه
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.